start now. Here I go. I'm going now. One more time. No.
Welcome back to Lazy Elite for March 11th, 2012. This is episode 48, and this is the podcast where we talk all things video games. I'm Nicole.
I am Kim.
And I am Stephanie.
And this week we're going to talk about Mass Effect 3, Rayman Origins, Dear Esther, Psychonauts, and Triple Town. And I'm sure a few other games like we always do throw in.
Yeah.
So, hello everyone and welcome. Hi Kim. Hi Steph. How are you?
Great.
Good.
Yeah. So, today we are going to talk about Mass Effect 3 because it was just released.
Yes.
Today's the 11th, so it was released on the 6th, so just a few days ago. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it took me over 24 hours to get that thing installed, so I've already missed quite a bit of time playing.
Well, and it didn't get actually released here until the 8th.
Yes.
I would think you would get it sooner because you're in the future.
Well, and it was ridiculous because I had it downloaded. You know, they gave you that pre-download. I had it downloaded before it opened in the States. I don't know why they couldn't have done a release at what would have been midnight in the release for us as well. But no, they waited until the midnight.
2 days.
Yeah. We didn't get it until, well, it was midnight on the 7th, which is, you know, the 8th, basically.
Right.
But I'm like, why? I don't understand why they did that. And I can understand the hype of not releasing it before they do the big release parties in the States. Mm-hmm. But it's electronic media. Release it to the people who pre-ordered it at the same time. I don't understand why they did that way. If any of our fans know, please let us know, because it doesn't make sense to me at all.
It just made you guys wait for a few days for no reason.
Yeah, exactly.
Like the biggest fan of Mass Effect, you made her wait
exactly
much longer than you needed to. So, for those that haven't never played Mass Effect, it's an action role playing game developed by BioWare and published by EA. And you had to install the wonderful Origins thing to even. If you don't hear the disgust in my voice, it's there because, that it's basically what Origins is EA's kind of response to Steam, because you can't get this on Steam. You have to, I purchased mine through Amazon and then it took 6 hours to download. And then.
Oh, so you purchased the download through Amazon.
I purchased the download through Amazon. It downloaded. Then it started going through the install, and the game itself then installed and downloaded it. I think there was probably a total of 10 hours just to try to get it on my machine. And then when I did get it installed, it would go to 99% and then just sit there. So I spent probably 3 hours. And mind you, I have very limited time to game now because of Mateo. And I'm spending all this time troubleshooting. And I'm like, this is why I don't play PC games. I just want to play the damn game.
Yeah, that Origins thing, I had huge troubles with it when I did Star Wars. When I loaded Star Wars in. I mean, huge troubles. And I'm like, I was as pissed off as you were. I was just like,
I'm raging.
Stupid thing.
I haven't even played the game and I'm raging. So I ended up trying out their support online, their tech support. Mm-hmm. And so I sit in a queue. I'm waiting to be pulled into like a chat. It was only a couple minutes, but then I sit in a room. There's somebody in the room with me, and I'm talking, and I'm in there for 5 minutes talking to myself. I'm like,
before they responded?
Before they even acknowledged I was there. I'm like, hello. I'm like, hello. Is anyone there? Like, what is going on? And you know what the response, their recommendation was? To download it again. And reinstall it. I'm like, another 5 hours.
Oh, yes. I had very similar problems when I was dealing with the Dragon Age All-in-One Edition, Ultimate Edition.
Oh, yeah.
And they tell that was their one and only suggestion. Oh, you're having problems? Delete it and download it again. And I went off on them. I'm like, you don't even know how long it takes me to download this because I was on a really crappy connection. I said, I am not doing this again.
I tried everything before doing that. I deleted the physics engine. I reinstalled it. I reinstalled DirectX. I was like, I was all in the innards of the game. And I finally was like, well, I guess I'm going to have to do it. So I deleted it all and I downloaded it again and. And it worked this time, thankfully.
But still, so you guys don't have to pay for bandwidth normally.
Right.
But I have hard limits on my bandwidth at home. And, like you would a cell phone. And so doing that type of thing and making people do that for countries or even areas in the States, I'm sure it's like this too, where you're limited to how much your download, how much you can download. And that's really costing us, you know, that we shouldn't have to do that.
We haven't even talked about the game yet because just the experience alone made me want to just say, forget this game. I'm done with it. I'm not even playing it.
Oh, that's too bad. That really,
I know,
it
but
really
here's
does
the thing.
Mark
I
you.
Am playing it. I am playing it.
Yay.
Okay. Good.
And I'm
so
excited
it is the
to
third
hear
one.
Your guys.
It's the third of the trilogy. This is the final chapter, and you're playing Commander Shepard. Now, I must ask, ladies, are you playing female Commander Shepard?
Naturally.
Yeah.
Of course.
Totally.
Yes.
Totally.
I love it. I mean, that is one thing I will say about this whole series. I love the fact that you can be a man or a female. And yeah, I love it.
You know, I've never played the male Shepard because in my mind now, Mass Effect is a female Shepard. I mean, if I went, even when I see the trailers and I see a male Shepard, I'm like,
who is that?
That's not my game. I don't know where that dude is coming from, but that's not my game.
I would be very interested in kind of if they have like the metrics and the numbers of how many female versus male. I'm sure it's more male, but still it would be really interesting to see kind of who decides to play Shepard as a female?
Yeah, I'd like to see how many men would play her instead of the male Shep. That would be interesting. I imagine that most women play the femme Shep, but I can't imagine that a man would play her. It doesn't.
Well, I know quite a few.
I was gonna say you get the argument for some guys, like especially I like looking at women. So there you go. You got a woman.
Very true. But I think this is more immersive and, you know, you actually kind of become her in the game.
Yes.
So I think that may be a difference between the guys who play female characters in MMOs versus an immersive game like this. So I would be really interested to see how many male guys play female Shepherds.
Mm-hmm. So there is also, along with the main storyline that you're playing, there is a multiplayer option.
Yes.
And because I haven't really played the other ones, I've dipped my toes in them. Was there a multiplayer in the other ones, Kim?
No.
This
I didn't think so.
This is the first one. Yeah. And what's interesting about this multiplayer is it actually helps your end game. So you start out with your Galaxy at War map, and it has different sections on the map, and those are the multiplayer zones. And you start out like 52%, somewhere in the 50s. And then as you go through multiplayer, it goes up to 100. So at your final battle, that just means you'll be a little bit stronger. If you don't do the multiplayer, you're still at over 50%, but you won't have that advantage as the multiplayers do.
So did you know that there's 82 minutes of cutscenes in this game?
Wow.
I'm not surprised.
No, not.
I mean, there are movies that aren't even that long.
Exactly. And I was thinking that as I was playing the first person today, I was thinking, you know, I'm watching this big action shot and I'm like, you know, this is actually on par with movies that I've seen.
Yeah.
It's so well done and very thrilling to watch. So I'm not surprised by that number.
I'm interested in finding out, how far did you guys get into the Mass Effect 2?
Not very far at all.
Not very far. I got distracted. I lost my save game. So I never, I'm starting from scratch. I'm not importing.
Yeah, same here.
So when you,
I didn't like how I customized my shepherd. I thought she was kind of ugly.
Well, and that's, you know, I thought when I imported.
So I just did the default one. I'm like, yeah, I can last.
Well, I thought it was interesting that when we imported this time, the looks didn't come across. So I had to recreate my shepherd.
I've heard people talk about that. Yeah. Their carefully crafted shepherd from 2 looks different in 3.
Yeah.
So they're peeved about that.
I was disappointed because that's who I got to know and that's who I thought I was bringing over. And I brought over, of course, all her history. But what I didn't bring is her looks. So I had to try to recreate them. And I think it took me as long to recreate the looks as it would have, you know, to just make a new one.
So since, Kim, you are the queen of Mass Effect, I think I'll let you kick this review off. Since you've probably been the one that's played it the most.
Yeah. How far are you guys into the game?
I'm on Mars.
I'm a couple missions in. So
So you guys are just
Krogan.
You're just beginning it.
Yeah, I am.
Oh, yes. Wow. Absolutely.
So I'm about, I would say, 80% done with the main storyline.
Wow, you're just pushing right through that.
But like, I just envisioned you sitting at your computer with like Red Bull and I got my dust all over your face.
Donuts everywhere, you know, popping the Smarties to give me energy.
I understand if you import a character, you come in at level 30, whereas we're starting from scratch.
Yep.
Does that change where you start in the story, or are you starting where we start?
I'm starting where you guys start. So I start exactly where everyone starts. It's just that I have a lot of my talents. I've already got the points and stuff. So it was actually, I found the combat fairly easy. I mean, and I'm playing just the normal mode, not the easy mode. And I really haven't had many problems at all. In fact, I was thinking of going up to one level harder because it seemed it was pretty easy going. So I was a little disappointed with that.
So you're playing action mode.
Yeah. So this is
the action mode. And then when you're in action mode, you can actually change the levels of difficulty within action mode.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep, you can.
Or no. Action mode is, you're right into combat. You're in RPG mode, that's right. I'm in story mode because I'm all about the easy mode at this point.
Yeah!
I am so thankful. I've never appreciated easy mode as much as I appreciate it now. Because, again, so I have little time, so I'm like, I want to just kind of go through the game. I don't have 4 hours at a time anymore.
Well, so I think that's good too because the fighting in this is just one small part of it. You know, Mass Effect is the story as much and building those relationships as much as it is going through the combat. Sure. So, you know, playing it on easy just allows you to relax and enjoy the story. And if you really want to do the combat, they've got the multiplayer now where you can really be hardcore. So I kind of like that balance that you can put here that, you know, you can kind of just breeze through the storyline and enjoy it and then play your hardcore multiplayer, on the other hand. So
I just read the difference between the action mode, the conversation have automatic replies. Story mode is manual replies with minimal combat difficulty, and an RPG mode is manual replies with normal combat difficulty.
So I'm playing the third one.
Yeah.
The RPG.
The role playing. Yeah. Yeah, you're playing role playing. Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah. Because I want to have those conversations and I want to be able to control it.
Which role are you going? Paragon or Renegade?
Oh, Renegade. Definitely Renegade.
Oh, very interesting.
It's a lot harder in this game than in Mass Effect 2. In Mass Effect 2, the Renegade Paragon was very important. I mean, because you didn't get choices. It seemed like it affected more choices than in Mass Effect 3. Maybe I just haven't seen as many of those because, you know, everyone's game is just a little bit different. But there are some like big decisions you have to make in this game. This game is almost gut wrenching because it really is the end of the world. And, you know, you've got to make some huge sacrifices. And I've had to kill or let them die my squad mates or my old friends to complete a mission if I want it to turn out the way I want it to turn out. And it's seriously, this one is intense. Very intense. The story. So because none of my squad members died last time, I brought over my full squad with me. So I have the storylines for everyone available. If you port over characters and you've let certain people die, then you won't have those storylines available to you, or there'll be different people in those storylines.
Right.
Which it's really interesting. If you ported over a character and you let, you know, six of your squad mates die, I wonder how the story goes.
Right. And how people react to you because of that.
Yeah. It's different.
So when you create, you didn't create a character. Or maybe you did. I'm just wondering how it worked for you, because as I was creating my new character, I had to, the loss, you know, you're in an intense battle and one person is saved.
Carried over.
Okay, is that carried over?
She did in two, yeah. That's how she created her character in two.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But, like, there's a key character, Morden. And,
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Morden is a scientist. And there's one, battle that goes through. And eventually, you know, you have to make a decision at the end with him. But if he died in Mass Effect 2, is a different character there instead of Morden, or do you just not get that storyline?
I would think it's a different character.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because that storyline's too important. I know the one you're talking about. Yeah, it's too important to skip over.
Well, that's what I would think. But overall, I absolutely love the game. They've changed the scanning. So in Mass Effect 2, what would happen is you would have to gather resources like mining, you know, you platinum and the other metals. And you'd go to a planet, you would go into orbit around a planet and then just scan and scan, launch probes. And it took a lot of time. I mean, it was like a big part of it because you needed those resources to upgrade your weapons and upgrade your ship. What you do is you go into a solar system and you can scan big parts of the solar system and the computer will tell you if they found anything. Then you go land in that area. But it also has the ability.
The danger.
Yeah, the danger is that it will call a Reaper. And sometimes you have all the time in the world because the Reaper's far away and they don't really care. Or they're like there immediately. So you got that chance there. But that doesn't. I don't think that's part of the gameplay. I haven't found any. I've only found one reason that you need these artifacts that you're gathering, and that's a dealer in the Citadel who wants some artifacts. But there's different ways that you can handle him. So I think that's just they threw it in because people would miss it if it wasn't there. But it's completely useless now. So. Yeah.
It's just a side thing.
Yeah. And it's a gathering thing that you can do or not do. Whereas in Mass Effect 2, it was essential you did it because you needed those resources if you wanted to upgrade your weapons quicker. So that part was kind of disappointing because I actually liked doing that. It was kind of it's like gathering herbs in WoW. You know, it's just a fun thing to just go around and do. But now it's like, oh, no, it's kind of lost its appeal. So I guess it's just a side thing now.
Yeah, it's so I do it and I'm like, I found something.
Did you do a relationship in the first Mass Effect? Did you play Mass Effect 1?
I did, but I didn't finish it. And I really started a new character in Mass Effect 2. So I didn't have the relationships in Mass Effect 1 to pull into Mass Effect 2, but I did have a relationship in Mass Effect 2.
Because I read that if you achieved a love interest in the first and the second, then both previous love interests vie for Shepard's attention in 3, and there's a love triangle.
Oh,
wow.
Well,
he's got some history.
In this one, so this math, I mean, BioWare's always been good at letting you pretty much love whoever you want to love. Yes. And this, it's not, there's a little bitty spoiler here, but it's not essential, but there is a shower scene. And this shower scene, I saved before it so I could go ahead and see the whole shower scene, even though I didn't want
to watch it multiple times.
But if you're playing FemShep, then it's a lesbian shower scene.
I know. I was going to say, it's interesting that you said they'll let you love who you want to love. But if you look at the list of who male Shepherd can romance versus who female Shepherd can romance, significantly shorter. Significantly.
Oh, yeah. And everyone loves FemShep. Seriously, every girl is hitting on me. And it seems like the girls are hitting on me more than the guys are. It's it's weird. And I'm like, wow, I feel popular. Right?
I was like in James with his little flirty talk. I was like, all right, bring it on.
Oh, and he's adorable. So I let him call me Lola. And I'm like, yeah, call me Lola.
Me too.
But yeah, so there's a reporter, and she's hitting on me. Oh, I love her. She's really cool. Ooh. The doctor was hitting on me. Of course, my admin girl was hitting on me. Liara, my pretty much right-hand man in this one, is hitting on me. Everyone's hitting on me. And of course, the guys are too. But I was like, but really, Garrus is my love, and...
Garrus, that's so cool.
Yeah, he was my love awesome. In Mass Effect 2. And so the first thing I see him when he gets on the ship, he's like, hey, remember what we had back last time? And I'm like, yeah, I sure do. He goes, well, I've been doing some studying on what Earth Girl's like. You still interested? I'm like, well, after that, yeah. So I like the relationships and the banter that they do on those a lot. It's been really fun, and it's a nice break from all the seriousness, especially when, you get out of some of the missions, and I'm like emotionally spent. I haven't cried or anything yet, but it's gotten to the point that I was just like, wow, I can't believe I had to do that. It's hard. And now they have after a certain point, there's a wall, like a memorial wall. And I go up and I read this and I'm like, oh, I remember. Oh, I can't believe he died and she died. It was so sad. So it's funny how you get emotionally tied to characters in a video game.
Well, BioWare does an excellent job of that.
They really do.
Making you care. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't help but think of Dragon's Age when yes. I'm going through too. Just not necessarily the context, but just the gameplay and the way, because 2 was modeled after Mass Effect's comment or the whole discussion system. So I'm like, it's the same, but not. So I kind of like it. Kind of digging Mass Effect 3. So. Yeah.
So how, and do you guys understand the story? Line oh,
yeah.
Then,
if, yeah, the didn't... whole okay. The Reapers are coming to wipe. I thought they did a really good job setting up the story, just kind of as quickly as possible, setting up what is going on. Even though I really haven't been involved in 1 and 2, you know, the Reapers are coming to wipe out the planet. Would they cleanse it every, was it 50,000 years 50, or so?
Yeah.
50,000 years. So that's the gist of the story, isn't it?
Yeah.
Am I missing anything? I don't think I'm missing anything.
If you talk to James and you get his little his background, you understand that there's a lot of mixed feelings about Shepard, because she was the dog. She was the scapegoat for a long time, and then it turned out she was right. And now everyone has to turn around and say, "Oh yeah, sorry."
Yeah, and there's so much history. There's so much history there that, and you can pick up, the little pieces of history as you're talking with people. And a big hint is talk to everyone and talk them to death. And sometimes it gets a little monotonous, and I just hit space bar, blah, blah, blah. So I'm hearing like the beginning of each sentences, blah, 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 blah. But it adds so much to the game if you really understand the backstory. If you understand Cerberus. So Cerberus has always been the bad guy, but in Mass mm-hmm. Effect 2, Shepard joined them for a specific purpose.
Right.
And then, but she always knew they were still the bad guys. Now in Mass Effect 3, they've become like the evil guys. I mean, they are like really bad people in this one. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's kind of interesting to know that history of what happened with Mass Effect 2 and how she was a part of it going into Mass Effect 3. So that was pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The one thing, if you're a new player, is to go and look at those videos on your screen, your personal console, they have, mm-hmm. Have that. And it's little videos on how to move your characters and how to mm-hmm. play with your other teammates and stuff. And it's really pretty interesting.
Some of the stuff is not so intuitive, though, for mm-hmm. people that are just starting, particularly the weapon loadout. That screen is not, if you've never played it before, I challenge people to understand how that works and to use it effectively.
It's interesting you mentioned that.
You're just
stuff
looking at. Yeah, you're
Mark
just
said the same
back
thing. It feels like they're assuming I know
yes
a lot already. So
exactly. They're assuming that 98% of the people playing this game already know exactly how this works. So when you pull up the manual, which by the way does not come with the game, is actually in line in the game, when you pull up the manual, even that is very bare bones. Like, yeah. I kept pulling up the weapons going, am I missing something here? Am I missing something here? And they're just not telling me what I'm looking for.
No, it's been that way since Mass Effect 1. And this is actually a different weapons loadout than you had before. This is mm-hmm. different than Mass Effect 2. And yeah. I'm just as confused as you guys are. I'm like going through these guns, or when I go to buy upgrades, I'm like, I have no idea what to buy. I just start buying stuff and
yeah.
Then, you know, putting it on different guns just to see, because yeah, I have no idea either.
Well, it's funny you say that, Steph, because I felt I had a really like, oh, I can't believe I did that moment, where one of the first things you come upon is like a first aid kit, and it says up the top, open first aid. I'm like, how the hell do I open it?
Right.
I'm like,
exactly.
I'm like, click, 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 button, button, button. I go into manual. I'm like, I don't see anywhere. And then finally I was like, oh, it better not be the space bar. Damn it, it's the space bar.
Yes.
It seems like the space bar is like what I do for just about everything.
Yeah. I mean, they really are assuming that you already understand this. Or, get it.
So
I was not getting it. I was struggling there for a while, and then finally, stumbled across it. But
so on.
Here's the breakdown. When you're looking at the weapon loadout screen, which is your back, there are different spots for the different weapon types that you can carry. You can carry a sniper rifle. You can carry an assault rifle. You can carry a heavy pistol. You can carry a regular pistol and a shotgun. So you click on each one of these spots. And then on the right, it will show you the available weapons that you can put in that slot, or you can set it to zero. Zero means that spot is empty, which will actually save on your weight if you don't really want to carry all this crud around, which actually helps you a lot in multiplayer. But that's the gist of it, is you click on the spot and you cycle from one to whatever, zero to whatever, how many weapons you have in that spot, and then pick the one that you like. There you go. That's the weapon loadout. But they don't tell you that.
Well, and you don't know. I mean, you're looking at these weapons, and you're like, well, I don't really know which is better for me. So
yeah,
it's hard to get that concept at first. Eventually, when you get to the point like where I'm at, you realize that you balance it out. And some weapons you want faster, some weapons mm-hmm. you want slower but more damage. You know, you kind of balance that out. But no, it's not intuitive at all.
Whoa. Right. A lot of the assault rifles are, they shoot really fast. They have a very high fire rate, but their damage is really low. So for me, that's essentially like throwing buckshot at somebody and you hope that it hits something. You know, it's like, it's going to make a lot of noise, but it isn't going to bring them down quickly. So you have to balance rate of fire with how much damage and how accurate it is.
Well, it does interrupt
some of it.
If it's not accurate,
then you're just like spraying it all over the room.
It does interrupt some of their spells, though. So if you mm-hmm. have somebody who needs a cast time, you know, you can interrupt that and boo, it's just hitting them completely. Right. And maybe one of your other squad mates can hit them. So different.
Oh, that's, things. That brings up a different question. What class are you guys playing Shepherd as?
I just decided to do Soldier.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm running through this time, but I definitely want to do the Adept next time because that kicks butt in multiplayer.
Infiltrator.
I'm having a blast with that in multiplayer.
I'm an and infiltrator. What about
you? Oh, infiltrator, nice.
Yeah, I love that. I love the cold blast where you freeze your enemy.
Yes.
That is like my favorite thing to do.
So Kim and I got to do multiplayer yesterday.
Did you play last night? I was wondering.
Yes. Yes, we did get to play some last night.
It was so much fun.
It is a ton of fun. Especially when you can get... okay, here's my first recommendation. Do not do a group unless you have a full four people. Because you will not advance very far in the waves. And okay, so backing up. The multiplayer... this multiplayer, I feel, is designed for people that hate multiplayer. That don't like it. For all of the reasons of working with other people. Or playing against other people. That's what you don't like, then this is the multiplayer for you. Because it's a horde style. You're not playing against other players. It is strictly AI from the computer, and they mix up which enemies you're playing against, unless you specifically want one. But it's a four-person co-op, and we found out that you can start a private game and then open the other slots up for public so you can fill out your four people. And then you go into an arena and you face waves, 10 waves of hordes coming at you. Interspersed is different objectives. Like, you'll do two waves of hordes, and then the third wave will always be an objective. Either turn on some equipment, destroy some equipment, take out some key people, blah, blah, blah. And then you go through that for 10 cycles, and then the 11th is the extraction, and then it's complete.
Remember the zombie mode with Red Dead Redemption was kind of like that. So
right,
I like
exactly.
That.
You had to survive waves.
Yeah, the co-op, the way that they did it is actually really good. And you get to play different races, which is fun.
Yes.
Like Gypsy was Stephanie was a pink Krogon.
Yes!
It's, if you've never seen a big Krogon wearing pink armor, it's the funniest thing ever.
It was awesome.
So good.
But when you play the multiplayer, you get rewarded with XP, obviously, to level up. You get, if you complete the waves, you get rewarded with credits, and which are different from the in-game credits. And you also get advancements in your galactic preparedness. So... it's really into your advantage to complete and get to the 11th wave and then get full extraction. Because once you get all those nice rewards, you can go to the store and buy inspector packs that will give you bonuses to your armor, your weaponry, you can get new guns, and you can actually unlock new characters. Like, that's how I got the Krogan. So it feels really worth it to save up the money to get those Spectre packs because you can get some really cool stuff.
It should also be said that this Mass Effect will also have DLC.
Yes.
So I'm not sure when is it supposed to be coming out.
The first is included in
the collector's edition. Yeah.
The first one is called From the Ashes, and it wasn't actually supposed to be released immediately. But I think BioWare kind of screwed up.
That's what everyone was saying.
Yeah. So they said this DLC was made after the game was already produced. It was done by a completely different team, blah, blah, blah.
Uh-huh.
Well, and then people found remnants of it already on the disc, which means... no, it was done beforehand because it had, you can't, when you go out to production, whatever's in that load at that time, that's the golden disc that goes out to get manufactured.
Right.
And they're saying, no, it happened after that. But, so now there's this controversy on, well, obviously it happened before. So why are you guys lying to us? And things like that.
Just trying to get more money.
Yeah.
It was a little egg on their face.
Yeah. And actually, I mean, I got the deal. You guys got the DLC with, because you got the either the deluxe pack or the collector's edition.
Right. I got it.
I don't think I got it. But I haven't
done it yet, obviously.
It's the, well, you'll know if you get it because there's a mission that you go and get a Prothean artifact. And that's the mission for From the Ashes. Right. And then you actually, well, I'm not going to say. I mean, you can go on the web and read it if you want, but I won't. I won't spoil it for anyone.
So, yeah, it's a DLC. There you go.
There you go. Not required. It's optional.
Right.
All right. Oh,
but,
so,
but again, for the stupid multiplayer, sadly, you know, it's all about Origins, and you got to have your friends on Origin to invite them.
Yeah, which that kind of sucked. But the good thing is you can log in to your PSN account or your Xbox account to find your friends. So I went into my PSN account and, you know, I invited whoever was my friends on PlayStation. I invited them to be my friend on Origins because it only shows the friends who are already on Origin who are your PlayStation friends. I have zero friends on my Xbox because I, you know, I don't use it for multiplayer. So I didn't do that. But so at least they made that, compatible, which is good.
Right.
Cool. So it sounds like overall good. I mean, aside from Origins and, you know.
Right. I'm absolutely
the soul crushing install.
Yeah, I think if you didn't have that Origins interface, it would have been a lot easier. That stupid Origins thing is so difficult, and it really sucks that it mars your first impressions of it. You know, it really does put a negative slant on it.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
but
then, so then you're like, this better be worth it. This better be worth all the crud I just had to go through. Yeah.
You're not a disappoint me game.
Exactly.
Oh. Appease me.
So, yeah, I would say buy. I mean, especially with the multiplayer add in, you know, some extra bonus with that. So, and I'm having a good time. It's a nice role playing game. Oh, shooter. Yeah. I love the, you know, going around and I love to shoot stuff.
So are you guys playing? Well, everyone's playing it on PC. So I was going to ask, how do you find the controls, you know, different on the console? But none of us are playing.
Yeah,
so.
I thought about doing console, but I already have Uncharted 3 that I've been playing and, you know, chipping away at on the console. I'm like, I'll play it on the PC.
Yeah, yeah, so, I can understand that. Yeah, huge.
I find I do a little bit of gaming. I'm like, you know, game here. I'm playing the Vita, you know, going all over the place.
Well, but it's good that you have balance. You know, you can't be all mom all the time. You can't be all work all the time. You know, there's got to be some balance in your life. So it's great that you've got that.
So I'm hearing a buy from all three of us.
Heck yeah.
Well, because not only because of the multiplayer, but this game has lots of replay value because you can, the choices you make a completely different game for everyone, you know? Yep. And so what I would like to do is after I finish this first one, go back and make a character from the start and see how it's different. You know, it's just, you can replay this game just like Mass Effect 3, or 2. I replayed it 3 times, you know?
And Dragon's Age. I can't even tell you how many times I did that game.
Yeah. And there's different characters. I mean, it's a totally different game when you change professions as well. Mm-hmm. So, it's got tons of replay value. So I definitely say buy it.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Definitely a buy.
Yes. Yep. Yes. Yay!
I'm actually glad I got in on the beginning of the game versus, you know, I think I got so caught up in other games that I never really gave Mass Effect 2 a fair shot. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I was busy playing other stuff.
And it just didn't grab me. I don't know. So
yeah, I think you had to, it took a little bit to grab you because there's a lot of learning curve in this game. It's not a very intuitive pick it up, go, and it grabs you. Once you get into the relationships and the story, I think it really grabs you. And I absolutely love the combat in the Mass Effect universe. And the combat really mm-hmm. didn't change from 2 to 3. It's pretty much the same. And that's one of the parts I really love about the game is those combat missions. And they're very intense and sometimes they can be long, sometimes they can be very short, but when you get out of it, you're like, oh, whew, okay, need my Red Bull.
Yeah, right.
So I'm glad you guys like it. I am so happy you guys like it.
Yes. Once again, I still do the same thing, though. If I'm in a mission and they're telling me, okay, you have to get to point A to rescue blah, blah, blah. I'm still looking around for goodies. I will still take my time to get there. I'm sorry. You're going to wait because I got to search. And I have found plenty of good stuff. Oh, I'm supposed to go to the right? Hey, let me take a look at the left.
Let me go to the left.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to check that out. Oh, look, there was a goodie there waiting for me.
Definitely do that.
Right. My teammates are like, hey, Shepard, we got to go this way. I'm like, yeah, wait, 1 second. 1 second. Oh, look, there's something for me.
So the next game that I'd like to talk about is, since I've been playing my Vita so much, I downloaded the demo for Rayman Origins.
Ooh.
Okay. And, oh my gosh, it is such a fun game.
No, I've never played any of the Rayman games.
Me either. And the only time I really ever played a Rayman type game was the Raving Rabbids game. And that's not a Rayman game. So, no. No, because it's all like mini games where you're playing these little rabbits and it's definitely not a platformer. The Raving Rabbids game is just like, you know, kind of like, what you do with like Wii Sports and like you have these little games that you play. Mm-hmm. Whereas Origins is a true platformer. It's developed by Ubisoft. You can actually get it on all the consoles. They came out on the consoles November of last year and it was released on the Vita at the beginning of February. So, mm-hmm. I started playing the demo, and the demo alone is a nice, solid demo. Multiple levels, so much fun. I can't tell you how much fun I'm having with this little game.
And it works well on the Vita? You like it on the Vita?
It's amazing on the Vita.
Oh, you're making me so jealous. I want a Vita so bad.
Do such a cool job of integrating the controls with touch. So, of course, you're Rayman. You're going through these different levels to collect teeth for this undead. Like, I don't know all the backstory of all these little characters, but I'm sure there is some. But what has happened is the undead have risen, and you're trying to, like, gather teeth for this little dude that apparently is going to let you in. So I don't really know the story. It doesn't even matter because it's just, you're just going from like world to world and you gain different abilities as you go through each level. And, you know, one ability you gain is you get a spinny thing on your head and you can float. And then you can smash and you can jump and you can dive and it's just so much fun. Aww. It's so, so cute and well done. And you collect these little yellow, I don't know what they called them, luminous or something like that. And you hear all these, help me, help me.
Oh.
And it's so, they're like these little pink balls with yellow hair and they're so cute and I want to save them all.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
It is I can't describe it any other way but just cute and fun, and I can't wait for Mateo to get old enough, and this will be one of the first games that he plays because it's really great. And like I said, as you're collecting these little yellow things, sometimes they appear in bubbles, and you, instead of moving your character to get them, you can actually just use your finger to tap them to capture them. So there's a combination of touch and control of Rayman to achieve and collect different things. So it's just a really great side-scrolling platformer. I haven't played a side-scrolling platformer in a while, and I really love it. It's great.
Oh, cool.
Nice.
So I highly, highly recommend it. If you have a Vita, at least download the demo and try it out. I mean, the demo alone is worth the download. So, oh, they're called Looms. Looms. L-U-M-E. Mm-hmm. Those are Looms. And that's how you unlock different areas. And I will say that there are times where I get really frustrated with the game. So, like, for instance, when you go to capture and collect the teeth, the skull coin teeth, for the little dude, you have to unlock it with the looms that you're collecting from the other world, right? And so you go into this world, and there's like a treasure chest, and that's where the tooth is. And you have to chase after the treasure chest. And I am not kidding you, it is the most frustrating thing, because I get so far in, and you're like running, 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 and I die, and I have to start all over. And I'm like, no. And it seems like they're getting harder and harder the higher levels harder meaning longer. And so you have to basically just flat out run and try to catch this treasure chest. And there's like a whole kind of strategic thing you have to go through to get this damn treasure chest. And I die at least 50 times before I get it.
Oh, no.
So
it's like the old world Mario games where...
It is totally.
Where there was no save in the middle and you had exactly. to start over. And oh, yeah. Is it frustrating where you're like, oh, or is it frustrating fun where it's like, okay, I'm going to do it this time?
It's frustrating fun, but it's also the type of frustrating, but it can quickly go to the frustrating... I need to walk away from this.
Yeah.
Or I need to go to a different level because it's like, oh my God.
Oh, that brings back so many memories.
And I think that's probably another reason why I'm loving it, because I'm tapping into those long ago memories of Mario where I'm like, I'm going to get past those damn turtles with hammers.
Damn Koopas.
So I highly recommend it. Even if you don't have a Vita, check it out on the consoles. It's, in fact, I just saw an advertisement for it on Steam. So it is coming to the PC on March 29th. So if you don't have a console or portable gaming system and you have a PC, check it out there. It's great. I love it.
Cool.
Love it. So, and Kim, you've been playing Dear Esther.
Well, playing is probably the right word.
Yeah.
So, Dear
experiencing,
Esther.
Experiencing.
Yeah. It's a first person game. Mm-hmm. Basically, all you do is walk around an island and explore the island. And while
you're.
Sounds
like Myst.
But Myst is actually a game. You have puzzles in Myst. This is. Totally different. This is an experiment, basically, and it's gorgeous. I am not kidding. It is absolutely gorgeous, but it's so sad. And Veronica did a little skit on Dear Esther on Game On. Mm-hmm. I highly recommend everyone go watch it, because it totally explains the whole thing. It pulls you in, and you learn through walking around the island, what the guy has gone through, the history of the island, the history of himself. And when you get to the end, you're like, oh my God, what just happened? It's confusing and mystical and magical and beautiful and sad all at the same time. It's, wow. But actually, it came out because it was actually a project funded by the Arts and Humanity Research Council to explore experimental gameplay and storytelling. And that's what this is. It's a story that you walk through, and you learn the story as you explore this island. It only took about an hour and a half to get through, and then it was over. And you come out of it and you're like, wow, what just happened? It was surreal at some points. I don't know if I'd really call it a game.
Right.
To me, that's
exactly what I was reading.
It's more a story, you know? Right. It's a visual.
How much money do you want to pay for essentially looking at it very pretty, you know, for 1 hour?
Yeah.
That's about it. And there's no input on your end.
No, none at all.
You're just experiencing it, and then that's it. So yeah. I wouldn't classify this as a game, quite frankly.
And it's only $10 on Steam. So, and I say only, it's absolutely beautiful. And you could replay it over and over if you wanted to. I think if you played it too many times, you might go crazy because I can't really even explain it. And I would go and read some of the reviews on this out there because there are some people who just have some amazing reviews on the insight. And it's kind of like breaking down a story and examining each part of it. And why did the developers do this? And why is this story even here? And why is it a game? It was an experience. It really was. And I wanted to play it just because it was so different. I've never played anything like this before. And I keep saying play, but to me, it was really just an animated story you experience through exploration.
The history of it is that it came out as a mod for Half-Life 2 in 2008.
Yeah.
So, well, it was built on that engine. Someone made this as a mod, and now, and see, this, I just gotta say, it kind of irritates me that somebody has now taken a mod, charged $10 for 1 hour to walk around.
Well, but that, I mean,
that
they really
grates me.
they built this upon the engine that was the mod was built on. So this really isn't the mod so much as they built the engine for the mod and they used that engine.
Interesting.
That's what I thought it was.
I don't think so. I think it was actually made as a mod for at least the one review I was reading.
Ah, okay. Well, it's stunning though. It's absolutely stunning. And they had to expand on that mod a lot because there are different areas that you walk through. You're walking through this underground part and it's like caves with crystals and stalactites and water running through it. It's just gorgeous and it's very immersive and the music is beautiful.
Yes, here it is. First released in June 2008 as a free mod from the Source Engine.
It was free and then remade. And
yeah. And then somebody went back in and like Kim said, did more programming.
I'll probably just wait till it's on sale. Yeah,
I wouldn't buy it at $10. I think $10 is too much to pay for it. Unless you want to support,
Indie in the
team. Yeah. Because it's a research project basically is what it was. But it's interesting. I would say definitely play it, but borrow a friend's copy or wait till it goes on sale.
How do you borrow a PC game?
Yeah, well, I guess you can't really. You can borrow their computer. Watch it at
somebody else's house. You know what game is on sale right now on Steam that I highly recommend? Psychonauts.
Yes, I want to get
For $4.99, I can guarantee you will have more than an hour of gameplay.
See, and that's half price.
Half price. Nice. Normally $10. So,
And what is Psychonauts about?
Okay, so Psychonauts. This is an older game. It was made by Tim Schafer and the Double Fine Productions. So this originally was released on Xbox back in 2005. It's a platformer, and it's awesome. You play Raz. You play Raz, who basically breaks into a camp for psychics. There's no other way to put it.
Okay.
And so you use your psychic abilities to explore and collect things. You know, it's a collection type. So you're collecting as you're going into mine. So your first kind of assignment is to take basic training in one of the teacher's mines. And he kind of gives you the rundown of collecting, baggage. So emotional baggage. So you have to find like the bag tag for the bag. You also have figments of imagination as you're collecting. The more you collect, you level up for that. So it's just a great, fun kind of platformer type game, with some weird, quirky, double fine awesomeness in it. It's awesome. I just love it. It really is one of my favorite games of all time. Well, there's a lot of boss fights. You know, you have your typical boss fights where you have to do different things. And as you level up, Raz will get different abilities like telekinesis, levitation, invisibility, clairvoyancy. So it's great fun. Great storyline. I would love for them to make a second one. And that's what this whole kind of Kickstarter project, people have been hoping this would be for Psychonauts 2, which I don't think it is. But, oh, it would be so wonderful if they would do a second one. So I highly recommend it. When it did come out, it actually had really poor sales. But it was loved by the critics and loved by me. So... I love that it came out on the PC, you know. It's on the Mac.
It's on the Mac.
So, Steph, you can play it on the Mac.
Actually, I can too, because Ralph, I have Ralph's MacBook Pro.
Ah,
and
that's
so
right.
That's going to be my first game I'm going to put on it.
Excellent.
See how it goes. I love this quote from Inside Gamer Online. If you don't buy Psychonauts, you are against children and against love. So go buy it.
So it's wonderful. I can't say enough about it. And I love the fact that we can download it and play it. And I'm playing it again. And it's been so long since I've played it. It's like I'm playing a whole new game. And it still holds up. Even though it was 2005, it still holds up really, really well. So $4.99.
All right. You can't. Jump on it.
I'm getting it.
That's my recommendation for the week. Because honestly, I started playing Psychonauts when I couldn't get Mass Effect 3 installed.
Oh, I'm sure.
just go play Psychonauts.
Screw you, BioWare.
And then finally, what's this Triple Town, Kim?
So Triple Town, it's a puzzle game. I'm playing it on my iPad. I think it's out for Android as well. Yeah, it's on iOS and Android. And basically, it's a puzzle game where you try to grow the greatest possible city, the biggest one and the best one that has cathedrals and it has massive mansions. And basically, it's a match 3 type game, and you place them on a board, and so you get bushes or grass. You get grass, and 3 grasses make a bush, 3 bushes make a tree, 3 trees make a house, and so on. And you also have bears that move around. And when you trap 3 bears together where they can't move, it creates a church. And 3 churches creates a cathedral, and 3 cathedral, or bigger churches, 3 bigger churches create a cathedral. And you get points as you go along. So the goal is just to get as many points as you can. And what it does is it compares, you know, it has a list of everyone else that's your friend list from Game Center to see how far they've gotten.
Oh, is this an iOS game?
Yeah. Okay. I've got it on my iPad.
Awesome.
It's so addictive, but it's free to play. But on the free to play version, you only have so many times, you can only put out like 150 grasses before it restarts, or there's a time limit, and once that time goes, you get another grass, and you know, like every minute you'll get a grass or something. Or you can buy the unlimited moves for $4.99, and then there's no time limit on anything. You also have a little store that you have coins, and you get coins by playing the game, or you can buy coins. So they've got the in-app purchases as well. I bought the unlimited moves to help support the developer of it. Because it was kind of expensive, but it's a very addictive game. I mean, I play this all the time. It's a fun pickup game. You can play it quickly or you can make a long game out of it. It's a lot of fun. I would highly recommend at least going and checking out the free version. And if you like the free version, you know, you might possibly buy it, but, yeah. Definitely go check out the free version because it's very addictive on your iPad. So if you're sitting there, you know, getting your oil changed or something, boom, 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 boom. Great game for that.
Boom, 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 boom.
All right.
Oh my gosh. We had such awesome games this week. I have this huge smile on my face because it was just such a great gaming 2 weeks. Just awesome.
Yes.
So we do have a couple of, really was an iPhone game, but we also have another one. I didn't realize Mass Effect came out with an iPhone game called Infiltrator.
That is correct. They've released it to tie in with, obviously, Mass Effect 3, but it is not in with the storyline. You actually play a Cerberus infiltrator agent. So he's got his own action going on, but it's made by the same people who did Dead Space for the iPad.
Right.
So expect the same type of controls. Although right now there's a lot of people reporting
complaining
glitchy controls. Yeah, that they don't like the controls.
Yeah, I've heard it.
And it is a gorgeous looking game.
Yes, and it is $6.99, which is pretty expensive for an iOS game.
See, but, and I just don't know if this is the kind of game you'd play on your iPad. It just doesn't feel right to me.
Right. And I'm not really sure I'm going to get it yet. Maybe I'll wait till it goes on sale. But it does tie in with your Mass Effect 3 with the whole galaxy preparedness. You can find intel during the game that will translate to percentage increases in the game should you need it. So
how do you log those into each other? Does this log into Origin then?
It must. It must.
Wow. That's weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it is from EA, and it seems like EA games always go on sale around the holidays.
Yes.
So what's the next holiday? Easter? Easter's coming up. So we can check to see what's on sale then.
So why not,
you know? 99-cent sale, then you just scoop
them
all up.
Oh, I do.
Bunnies and Mass Effect Infiltrator. Yes.
Risk. Right. I don't even play Risk, so I'm going to get it anyway. 99 cents.
Exactly. I'd be a fool not to buy it.
And then we have a free game called Draw Something, which I have not played this yet, so you guys are going to have to tell me about it.
Oh, this is so much fun.
Yes, this is terribly addictive. Remember when Depict came out and we were all about Depict?
Yep.
That's pretty much what this is, only it's just you back and forth with someone.
So
you create
turn-based.
A game with someone. They, you know, you have three words to choose from. You pick a word, you draw it, you send it to them, and they guess it. But the extra bonus is at the bottom is they give you the letters that spell out the word, but they throw in some extra letters to make it more difficult. So it's a little combination.
So I'm not having to worry about people drawing body parts. It's actually a friend of mine drawing body parts.
Random
games. Yeah. You can do random games with strangers, and I have plenty of those going on. But you can do them with your friends, too. But, for the most part, people, try. Some people, if they don't, then I just kill the game. I'm like, on to the next person.
It has over 250,000 five-star reviews.
Yeah.
It's a ton of fun.
What's cool is you try and keep the chain going. The successful guessing and drawing chain. Like, I've got a game going on with somebody where we're over 40 successful back and forth. Because as soon as somebody gets it wrong or just gives up, the chain's broken and you start back at one. Mm.
What's your highest chain?
40.
40.
I think I'm at 24.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I mean, you need somebody who's going to be playing the game. if they just put it away and stop playing, you're kind of stuck.
So it needs two improvements, though. Two things that frustrate me about it. One, the only find friends, the only integration point is with Facebook. I wish.
No, you can search by email.
Well, yeah, I know. Username. But you can add your friends if you know either their email or their name.
Right.
But I wish it had a tie-in with Twitter, because that's where most of my gaming friends are. So that would be nice. And the second thing is, I want to have the ability to comment to rate what they drew, because there are some hilarious things going on. Like,
yes,
you know, and it's fun because you can like do a story, not just a drawing. Mm-hmm. So like shave, I had the word shave. So I drew a man and I drew him with stubble and I drew a razor, and then I drew foam on the guy's face. And then I used the erase thing to erase the foam.
Ah,
so it's shaving,
nice.
You know, and it's like, it's better than depict, because there's no time limit. I mean, you can take as much time as you want to draw this picture. So that's a lot of fun to do that kind of stuff as well.
Yes.
But absolutely. I wish it had some kind of feedback to that other person. That would be fun.
Exactly. I miss that too. That ability to say, oh, that was great. Drawing, or that was funny, blah, blah, blah. Something to respond to them to let them know I appreciated their humor.
Yeah.
All right.
But it's got a free, does have ads.
That's the one I did.
Or you can pay 99 cents to avoid the ads. So there you go. Two choices.
I was looking. There's in-app purchases too. Coins. You can buy coins.
Well, yeah, because if you are having difficulty guessing what they drew, you can use a little bomb to explode the letters that don't belong, and then you can actually see the word. Or you can also use the bomb to change the three choices that you've got of what to draw if you don't like any of them. So completely superfluous, not necessary to the game. It just makes it easier if you're feeling a little lazy.
You can also use the coins to buy different color palettes.
I did that by accident.
I know, it's hard. You press it. Oh, boom. It's an automatic purchase. And you can also, when you buy it for 99 cents, so I bought the game, you get 400 free coins, and you get 2,000 more words added to your thing. So 99 cents, I thought, was pretty good deal for getting all of that. So
I'm surprised it's not more, to be honest with you, since it's this popular.
Oh, it's
usually when they get more popular, the prices go up.
Yeah, 99 cents is a total bargain for this game. Total bargain. Yes.
I love playing this game. It's
cool. We'll have to check that out. All right, so let's move on to MMO talk. Well, it looks like Rift is celebrating its 1-year anniversary.
That is correct.
And are they doing a carnival?
They have a carnival, exactly. They have a carnival that's going on for almost 3 weeks now.
What do you get in the carnival? Is it just like standing around eating cotton candy?
it's what I like is that they're releasing it in different phases, right? So in the beginning phase, we were sent on quests to collect items to build parade balloons, and they're amazing. You got to see them; they're just tremendous. And then once the parade balloons were created, the carnival actually kicked off, and now there's actual games there where you throw hoops on things and you pop balloons, and there's a little horse race game. Now we're in the next phase where there's a fashion show, there's more food that actually turns you into different things, there's more daily quests. And there's even more that's coming. Like, in the next phases, they're going to release even more games. And each phase, we get the chance to win a little token. And once you have 5 tokens, then you can buy one of the special mounts that's going to be released. There's a steampunk spider. Ooh. And this kind of spectral horse. Oh, yeah. the steampunk spider is awesome. So it's really cool that they have all these piñatas that are out in the world. You can break them to get beads. But that you can also do the iPhone app to get beads by doing these little scratch offs.
right. Hello?
Oh, there you guys are. Something happened.
I think
there we go.
I was like, wait, nothing happened blurb there. Okay, I can delete
damn,
that
solar
out.
Flares. Did you read about that? These massive two massive solar flares went off like last week.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
Okay, we can get back.
Yeah. So you're having a good time in Rift, it sounds like.
Absolutely. The carnival is a ton of fun. And they have lots of pets. There's a little wind-up pony, a little horse that walks around next to you. It's so cute.
So I have to ask you, you're completely out of Warcraft.
I am for now. I'm holding off so that the pandas might bring me back.
I was going to say, what if something happened where if someone invited you back, you would get a level 80. Would you come back?
To me, a new 80 just means more rep grinding. Seriously, that's all I picture in my head.
Well, that's what was announced. is it out yet, Kim? I haven't been keeping up. I just heard about it.
It's out, and you can launch it from your... Or you get an in-game mail that also tells you this. But yeah, the Scroll of Resurrection is out for WoW now. And basically what it does is... For the giver, you get a mount. I think it's a spectral something, griffin or something. For the receiver, you get 7 free days of WoW, which seems like really short. Why couldn't they give 30?
Yeah.
You get an automatic level to 80. You get a set of level 80 gear, and you get a transfer to your friend's server. So if you can, what you can do is actually create a level 1 on a trial account and then use that level 1 to automatically become 80 and go over to a new server. Or not on a trial account, on your old account. You can do that. But it's just a way for Blizzard to get more people back in who are probably in this lull, let their accounts lapse and things like that.
People have dissipated and left servers, and so you're on a server that you may not know anyone anymore, and you might have friends on another server, and you're like, hey, come play with us.
Yeah, which, but I would have thought they would have given 30 days free. I mean, 7 days?
Yeah.
Come on, Blizzard. You could have given 30 days.
7 seems pretty standard. Mark just got a email from Star Wars Old Republic saying, you know, invite your friend for a 7-day trial pass.
Yeah. So. I got that one. But still, if they really wanted an incentive, 30 days would have been better than 7. 7 days is really just a, hey, come check out Star Wars, you know, and then you'll get hooked. Well, this is a resurrection, so people are already hooked, and they've given it up for some reason. So 7 days of them playing isn't really going to get them hooked again, probably. 30 days is probably a little bit more to get them leveled up to 85.
Or even the old 14. They used to do a 14.
Yeah, exactly. I think 7 days is just too short for the Scroll of Resurrection.
Well, there you go. And speaking of Star Wars, Old Republic, I'm not playing, so I'm not sure what the Guild Summit is. What is that?
So the Guild Summit is basically like BlizzCon. But it was originally set out to be a guild master. They invited the guild masters. But then it turned into something a little bit bigger, and they invited more people.
Interesting. Speaking of Star Wars, The Old Republic, did you happen to catch the latest Big Bang Theory?
Yes.
You're like, I wonder if Star Wars paid to have that place there.
Exactly. But you can, to learn more about the Guild Summit, the instance, the tour show, did a great wrap up on it of all the cool things coming out. So we don't want to do a big wrap up here.
And you can find that. It's at theinstance.net/TOR. That's how you get to the Instance Old Republic.
They did a great wrap up on it. So, and there's a lot of cool things coming out, especially with the legacy. And you can build a legacy tree from all your characters. So the legacy stuff sounds really cool. More instances, things like that.
Oh, Kim, tell me what your legacy name is.
Oh, I love my legacy name. So I got my legacy name, and, you know, most of my tunes are Molly something. And so I'm like trying to think of stuff, and me and Ralph are going back and forth, and he said, I said, well, Molly Ringwald. And I'm like, well, but that's just too expensive. And he's like, well, do Molly Ringwald, because Ringwald is a science fiction series from the 1970s. Yes. And it's got a lot of history and stuff. So my name is now Molly Ringwald. And you get an achievement and you get a title called Fly Girl. Mm-hmm. So I'm Fly Girl Molly Ringwald.
Oh, that's a pretty cool name.
Yeah, I just loved it. I loved it.
Very nice.
So thank you for Ralph. And just speaking of Ralph, oh my God.
Oh, yeah.
I am so sorry.
Technically, though, we did say ladies.
Yes, yes.
But in Ralph- the last episode, we were thanking all the ladies that had came onto the show while I was gone. And we failed to leave out Ralph. Even Ralph isn't a lady, but he was on the show. Thank you, Ralph.
Thank you so much for sitting in with us, Ralph. You did an amazing job, and I hope this is enough groveling.
Please be our tank. Don't.
Yes.
Oh, all right. So let's get into some internet news. We have actually a number of games that were the release dates were announced. So we have Borderlands 2, which I know Stephanie's probably salivating for, which was announced on September 18th of this year.
Although, once and, again, you know, they're going to delay the international release.
You have to wait till the 21st.
Yeah.
A couple days. So BioShock Infinite is released. It will be released on October 16th of this year. And they will have something called Prince mode or 1999 mode.
Yes, 1999 mode. Prince mode.
I love that.
I'm going to call that Prince mode.
Very cool.
So, not really sure what that is going. What did they give any details on this mode?
So, BioShock did a survey of their hardcore people who play the games, and they said, what is it you really want in the game? And they came back and they said, we want a hard mode. So that's what 1999 mode is. According to their press release, it says 1999 mode will feature an especially demanding gaming experience, forcing you to examine your decisions while going through your adventure. With every choice you make, there are irreversible implications, and if your choices guide you down a path not suited to your playstyle, you will suffer for it. Yeah, the vendor, in the previous BioShock games, like BioShock, you could go to a vendor and enhance, you know, you could buy the different plasmas that would enhance different abilities, you know, fire, ice.
Yeah.
Head out.
So. Okay, but go, go check out the BioShock. The trailers are up. Awesome.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait till this one comes out. I just am a big fan of BioShock. Oh, yes. So. We also had the iPad. Well, it's not even the iPad 3. It's just called the new iPad was announced.
Yeah, that's kind of weird, huh?
So it's not the iPad 3. It's just the new iPad. Yeah, and that will be, when was it? When's it coming out? I know I have a pre-order.
Original ship date was the 16th.
16th.
Now it's the 19th.
Now it's the 19th. Well, there you
go. And did you guys pre-order one?
Yes, I did, because I skipped a generation.
Me too. I don't have the 2. I have the 1.
Oh, okay. Yep. See, I have the iPad 2 with the G, the 3G, so I'll probably skip this one.
Skipping to the... Maybe they'll call the next one the actual iPad 3.
Awesome iPad will be the next one. Okay.
Oh, and of course, Stephanie has a funny cracked.com video for us that we're going to put in the show notes. And it is, if gamers... were honest, and it showcases four guys and one girl. I guess I would only assume they're playing like Call of Duty or something like that. And as they're playing, they say what they truly mean. It's quite funny. So we thought we'd share that.
Go check it out.
Yes, definitely check that out. It was a very funny video. All right, so let's keep this show moving. We got emails. We have 3 emails this week. All right, so this email is from Ahura, I believe is her name. Hi, ladies. I've been a girl gamer for quite a few years now. My fiance moved in with his Xbox 360, and I've never looked back. FYI, we have a PlayStation last year, or got a PlayStation last year, And after all these years of holding an Xbox controller, I still can't get the hang of the PlayStation.
It's opposite for me.
I started listening to your podcast about a month ago, and I've gone back and listened to a few of your older episodes, and it was great to hear what you girls thought of the games I've loved and hated. BioShock rules. You girls are awesome. I look forward to your show every fortnight and have even attempted my first MMO experience by playing Star Wars The Old Republic. I can see how these types of games can be so addictive. Borderlands 2 is also in my game budget for the year, thanks to you, as you've talked so highly of the first one. I wanted to say thanks for all your hard work and keep it coming. Girl Gamers rule. Yay. Oh, that's nice email. Thanks.
Yeah, I have the same...
join those games.
I have the same problem with going to the Xbox controller from the PlayStation controller.
Same here.
I can't get the hang of the Xbox one anymore. It's just, it doesn't feel right.
It feels so big in my hands. It's like clunky. I don't know. So, Hokkaido knows what I'm saying, even though I know he's not listening. So we have another email. Kim, I think this one's you because it's very long and I think you need to summarize it because it's all about Skyrim.
Yeah. And sorry, I mean, this is a long email. It was a great story though. So I'll put the whole email in our show notes. Hello, ladies elite. First, welcome back, Nicole. Yay. I wanted to share a story with you that happened to me in Skyrim. I lost Lydia. Ugh. I suspect it was because she was tired of carrying my burdens. Yeah, poor Lydia. We put so much burden on her, especially yes, dragon bones. She and I were outside of White Run, and there was a dragon in the air, so of course I run toward it to try to attack it. It seems to be attacking other people, which is fine by me. I can do more damage without taking any. So basically, fight the dragon dies, looting the dragon, and Lydia and her are both encumbered. They get to the store to sell the stuff, but Lydia's gone at the time, and she can't find her anymore, so she's lost. And she doesn't know if this is a glitch. So I've never had this happen with my Lydia. My Lydia died. But anyway, she doesn't know where it happened.
She's off wandering somewhere in the world.
Yeah.
Over-encumbered.
So I wanted to thank you for your talk about Skyrim. It got me more motivated to play. It felt very overwhelming by the game, and like Stephanie, did not really like Fallout 3. I always felt my character was running diagonally, and I could not get over that. But your talk about Skyrim, I restarted the game and had a much better understanding of the controls. I am playing on the PS3 and enjoying it a lot. I tried to get Farkas interested in me, but he never seemed to notice me after wearing my amulet of Mara. So I married a guy I bought to fight with me. I am pretending that we fell in love and I did not buy a husband, laugh out loud. Anyway, he does not make that much gold, like $100 a day. And after hearing how much you get from Farkas, I'm wondering if I should kill my husband and try to marry Farkas. Thoughts? I'm enjoying listening
to
your appreciating
your
work.
Can you kill your husband?
I have not tried that.
Well, I guess because if they die in a fight and they're dead. I mean, they're just dead. So, I mean, they can, if they get wounded and they're on the ground, but if they actually die, they're gone. So technically you could take him on a fight with you, let him die, which is basically killing him, and then go off to someone else. But I don't know if now you're free to marry someone else. I don't know that part. But that was from Ellie, and thank you, Ellie. It was a very interesting story. And you bring up some good points here. One, what happened to Lydia? And two, can you marry somebody else if your husband or your spouse dies? I don't know.
Have to try it out.
Yeah, have to try it out.
Unless you're already married to Farkas, then I wouldn't try it out.
Yeah.
I can't help but think of Christmas Story, Scott Farkas. From the Christmas.
He had yellow eyes.
Yellow eyes.
Yellow eyes.
All right. And then our third email is from Chris. You want to try this one, Steph? I don't know if your connection is going to hold.
I'm going to try it.
Lord. If not, I'll pick
Solar
it up.
Solar flares.
All right.
This is for Chris, who says, hello, ladies. I must say, love the fact that this podcast is mostly ladies, which is pretty cool by me. This is my first time emailing you all. Been a long time listener and got caught up in life. I'm on to episode 43 now. Love the last couple of episodes. The Skyrim talks are just awesome. I would love to hear more, but it probably won't, or my email is just late.
I have a question for you, ladies.
As gamers, do you tend to get odd reactions to people when you tell them you play games, being a lady, that is? My wife plays a lot of iOS games. She loves them. And I've mentioned several of the games you all review. Keep up the great work, ladies. Love your podcast. And you keep me awake while I work third shift during Night Auditor at a hotel. And yes, she does laugh at the end of every podcast. Episode 43, it's mentioned at the end. Salutes, LOL. Chris.
You do. I love that little giggle you do at the end each time.
I know. I didn't realize that I did do it, but I do.
Yes, and when I tell people, I try actually not to tell anybody at work I play games. Mm. Every once in a while, it'll come up. But seriously, I get the weirdest looks, especially from people at work.
I do the opposite. I make sure people know that I play games at work. It's like, we just did like an introduction the other day with some new team members, and we had to say three things about us. And one of my three things was, I'm an avid gamer. So.
Yeah. When I tell people that I play games, they immediately assume that it's Farmville type, you know, like Facebook games. And I, no. Then you start listing off the games that you've recently played, and then they start to change their opinion. Like, oh, really? Oh, you play the games that I might be interested in? Well, okay then. Yeah, it's completely, completely different, you know.
And so, it probably does depend on the type of, especially work type. Stuff. Maybe, I don't know. I deal with a bunch of techies. So,
yeah. See, I work in an industry where it's a lot of old men and it's a lot of fuddy-duddy old men.
Yeah.
And really, they're like, what? Games?
My boy plays. My son plays.
Exactly. Yeah. And not the people I actually work with, my coworkers inside my office, but I don't actually work with them so much as I work with customers out in the field so much. And those in the industry I work in is really old men, fuddy-duddy. So, yeah, I can see the difference.
It's funny, too. I don't know if you've ever, if you let little pieces creep into maybe a conversation that you would have with someone. Like, for instance, I deal with clients as well sometimes, and I may say something that only another WoW player would get.
Oh, yes.
And
yes.
So it's almost your way of finding each other without actually saying, oh, I play World of Warcraft.
That,
you know?
Yeah.
So it's, I put little things out there.
Walk into a room and say, "Bore the horn," and see what response you get.
But I will put little things out there if of course, you know, it's appropriate and it, you know, the conversation is headed that way, and I'll put little things out there. And it's almost like when you do find somebody that plays, you have that instant connection with them. And I find that it makes my work even easier. Like if I'm doing any type of training or anything, like, you know, just working with them, it almost creates a level of trust and bonding.
Excellent.
Instantly.
That is a great idea. Yeah. And when I do find gamer friends, it is a bond, totally a bond. Like I have a subcontractor who works with me, and, that is one thing we've totally bonded on. And he's actually listening to the podcast and stuff. So it's like very cool.
You know what I wish now that I'm, I have a young newborn and I'm a mom now. I wish there were like mommy groups that were gamers. You know what I mean?
That would be so
cool. I'm sure there are.
I bet you there are.
I don't think in my area.
And
know,
I don't, and I wonder how many are like kind of the hardcore. You know, I'm sure there are tons of ones for like Farmville and stuff. But I wonder how many and I hate to call it hardcore, but you know, it's there's a level of gaming.
There's casual gaming.
Casual
and
gaming.
And then there's non-casual gaming.
Yeah.
Which that, we will call hardcore.
That would be very cool though. Maybe you can start one because you've got tons of time, right?
I guess my thought is that I just would like to find other moms, other women that might be in the same kind of mindset I am. Because I know if I were to tell probably a group of moms that don't play games or just have no concept of that, they might think I'm an unfit mother. Or, you know what I mean? I feel like there might be judgment. So
no,
I don't necessarily want to just put that out there.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with you. Yeah. People, I think there's different sets of people who are like, you mean all your time is not completely dedicated to your child? You know, there's judgments like that. And you don't want
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
I just
don't want to deal with it.
Yeah,
deal with it.
Exactly.
Well, great email. Thank you, Chris. All right. Well, I think we've come to the end of the show, and Mateo is going to be waking up very shortly. So, Stephanie, how can the fine folks get a hold of us if they would like to reach and email us?
Yes, because we do love the emails.
We do love the emails.
The email address is ladiesofleet@gmail.com, which corresponds.
Oh, I should have done it myself.
To the website, ladiesofleet.com. There's also
hold on just a second. Kim, are you picking up everything that Stephanie's saying?
No, I'm getting the blank spots.
So I'll do this.
Yeah.
I'll do it this time. So okay. You can email us at ladieselite@gmail.com. You can visit, see, I'm not used to doing this. ladieselite.com. You can find us on Twitter. Again, twitter.com/ladieselite. You can also find all three of us on our individual Twitters. You can find me at Nicole Spag. You can find Stephanie at XIAXIAN1. And you can find Kim. And what is it? Just Kim Molly, right?
Yep.
And that's how you get a hold of us. So thank you for listening. Thank you for joining us. We'll be back in 2 weeks where I think we're going to try. I'm going to try to find the game I Am Alive. It's supposed to be out on PSN, but I haven't found it yet. It says it's released, so I'm going to check I'm going to check Xbox. So we're going to take a look at a couple of Xbox arcade and PSN games, I Am Alive and Warped. And probably a whole bunch of other stuff since there's a lot of
and more
great
Mass
stuff.
Effect.
I'm sure more Mass Effect.
Oh, and I need a PS3 game to play. I've been neglecting my PS3, so I'm excited about getting back into it.
It's in the corner going, I miss you, Kim.
Exactly. Maybe.
So thanks again for listening, and we'll see you soon.
Thanks,
bye.
Everyone. Bye.
All right. Bye.
Yay, got the laugh.
All right, girls. Thank you so much.